So you have to...
That's with the Doctor Who in Chicago.
Oh, indeed.
This is our second year. Of course, we were here last year for the 20th anniversary.
Mm-hmm. Are all the Doctor... is the show still being made? I mean, are there new...
Certainly.
New,
I'm Doctor Who number 3.
Right, right.
And there's now Doctor Who number 6. Mm.
Is that because, I mean, you can only stand it for so long? Or?
Well, I think intelligently one shouldn't stand anything too long. I think you're in peril of being permanently stamped.
You know, it's interesting that the Jod should walk in and we should start talking about Doctor Who after talking about Dune. Because if I remember correctly, the Doctor's normal body temperature is it 60? And, of course, he has two hearts, and he's more than, what, 700 and some odd years old or something.
That's it. I don't look a day over 35.
Yeah. Listen, a lot of Who fans want to talk to the good Doctor while he's here. Maybe you can answer some of these most difficult questions and share in all of the fun of TARDIS 21. Connie, did you have a question?
Yeah, I wanted to say hi to John.
Hello there.
Welcome to Chicago.
Thank you very much indeed. Lovely weather, too.
Oh, you should have been here yesterday for a snowstorm.
Oh, yeah, I've had a few in Connecticut.
What I wanted to ask you, after you left Doctor Who, you were doing Wurzel Gummidge. Are you still doing that?
Oh, I'm glad to hear you know about Wurzel Gummidge.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not making it at the moment, but we're in the process of endeavoring to set it up to be shown in the United States.
Yeah, for the uninitiated, Connie, you or maybe John, what will be war or I mean, has it got wheels on it or what? What's a Wurzel Gummidge?
A scarecrow.
Oh, well done. Have you seen it?
No, I just read about
you
it,
read
but
about
I haven't
it.
Seen it. I'm waiting for it to come to, you know, the United States, but I've just been doing some reading on it now.
Well, it's a children's classic book, Roy. It was written in the 30s by a lady called Barbara Eufon Todd, and she wrote this classic book, which is the best-seller paperback in the United Kingdom,
oh,
and has been ever since it was written.
Mm-hmm.
And they turned it into a radio series, which ran for a very long time, a children's radio series. And then during the war, it petered out. And years and years and years later, Keith Waterhouse and Willis Hall, two of our most eminent writers, wrote it as a movie. And they asked me if I would like to play the string bean scarecrow. As you can see now, I'm not such a perfect casting
almost.
For the string bean part of it. And I jumped at it and said I'd love to, but unfortunately they couldn't get the money together and the distribution together that they expected. And so I said, write a pilot for TV, which they did.
Great.
And we made it as a television series, which we made for 4 years, and it became somewhat of a cult in England.
Oh, fine. So there will be an opportunity then to see it in America.
Well, we hope. We're negotiating at the moment to get it shown.
All right. Does that help, Connie?
Oh, yes. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing the Doctor Who convention starting this weekend. And thanks to you, Roy, because I won 2 tickets for the TARDIS.
Oh, yes, right.
21.
For the past couple of weeks, we've been asking questions every once in a while, and
yeah,
if you get the right answer, you win a couple of tickets. Connie, you're going to have a good time, that's for sure.
Oh, I'm so glad. And thank you very much, John.
Nice to talk to you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for calling, Connie. David, what can we do for you?
Yes, John, I'd like to say welcome to Chicago.
Thank you.
I would like to know, are there any more plans for all of the doctors to get together like they did for the 5 doctors?
Yes, there are. I was at a conference just recently in Buffalo with John Nathan Turner, the present incumbent producer, and he told me then that he has some plans in the future for a future get-together. He doesn't exactly know when, but yes, I'm sure there will be. In fact, Patrick Troughton, Doctor Who number 2, he has just made with Colin Baker a story involving the two of them. So,
oh, good.
Yeah.
Patrick's going to be here this weekend.
He is indeed. He's here already. I've just left him.
Oh,
yes.
And Peter Davison will be here.
Yes.
That was 5th Doctor.
Peter Davison was
right.
after Tom Baker,
right.
which was, that's right, the 5th.
Right. Yeah. And then, and of course, John Pertwee is here, and Colin Baker will be here, too.
Yes, number 6.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Is that anything else, David?
Oh, John, is there any chance of getting an autographed picture by chance?
When they go to the convention, do they...
Unfortunately, we had such a problem last year with trying to endeavor to please everybody with autographs that the thing became chaotic because we had thousands of people
there
and people were disappointed. I think this year we've got a sort of principle of signing, I think about 2,000 posters we have to sign.
Right.
Everybody's got to sign 2,000 posters between now and when the convention starts. Yes, of course. If you'd like to... to write to me, care of Roy.
Sure.
I will make sure that you get a signed photograph.
Okay, thank you very much.
Then you hang on. We'll tell you how to accomplish that, Ted.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you, Roy.
It's 24 minutes before the hour of 2 on WGN in Chicago. Hello, Ted.
Yes, hello, Roy. line. Hello, John.
Hello, Ted. Good morning.
Mayor, it was a pleasure to see you last year at the 20th anniversary celebration. Much enjoyed you and Patrick Troughton cutting up there quite a bit for us during the discussion sessions.
Yes, yes. I'm told that the battle is going to commence fairly shortly.
Well, unfortunately, due to other commitments, I'm not going to be able to make this year's convention.
Oh.
And I'd wish to ask you a follow-up to a question that was at one of the panel discussions last year. Just when you were running out of time, a young fellow asked you and Peter Davison and Patrick Troughton which were your favorite aliens. I recall you saying the Draconians.
That's correct, yes.
Yes, and since we have not seen but perhaps half of your episodes here in Chicago, for instance, we haven't seen the demons, we haven't seen Spearhead from Space, or many of the others. What I had wanted to ask you in two parts is, one, what was, of all of the stories you were involved in, your favorite? And two, would you commit yourself as to who was a favorite companion?
I would willingly answer your first question, but without question in my mind, the best Doctor Who ever made, certainly the one that I was involved with, was the demons, because we didn't have to have monsters, except right at the very end, if you remember, that the satyr suddenly appeared in the church. He was sort of summoned up, the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of it was purely done by atmosphere. And I always think that's much more alarming. If you can get an atmosphere, which we did with winds and impressions, this is much more exciting. And have you seen the demons?
No, that's one that we haven't seen, but I've promptly, at the end of the convention last year, went out and purchased the Target paperback of it.
Oh, yes.
And it seems like it must have been a marvelous thing to stage from the way that it was written.
Yes, it was. We filmed the whole thing, luckily, because the BBC was on strike once again, and so we went out and we filmed it, which I much prefer doing anyway. Wurzel Gummidge, my other series, is entirely filmed in the country, and I much prefer to film everything on location. And so that your second question is, no, I wouldn't answer that, because if I gave opinions about what I thought about other actors and actresses, when they come on television and when they come on the radio, they're going to give me hell. The answer is that I love working with all of them.
Thank you, Ted.
Thank you very much. Best of luck, John.
Thank you.
You know, Doctor Who fans are marvelous. I have this letter in front of me that came to me from Charles Curtis, who lives in Culver, Indiana. He said he's a real fan, so he reached into his computer. He has sent me the title, the length of the serial in episodes, and the air dates for every single... Oh, wait a minute. There's also here a list of all of the Doctor's companions and assistants, the missing episodes, and various episode lists of the Brigadier and the Master. And this is all on his computer. So you can just glance that over if you need to refresh your memory on anything, John.
Well,
this is from a listener.
May I particularly ask this listener if he'd send me a copy of this, because it would be extremely useful to me.
Are you sure? Would it really? It
really would.
We will see to it. In fact, what I'll do is I can make a copy of that while you're here. We'll have a copy made, and it's yours.
I really would like it, because we're continually wanting to refer to background.
Little did John know when he passed this along to me. Charles Curtis. Very good. We'll get you a copy. I'm glad you said you wanted that, John. Listen, we got to take a quick break for a couple of messages, and then we'll be right back.
Thanks to modern medicine, a kidney can be transplanted, surgery can be performed on the tiniest of nerves, and children who may never have walked in the past have grown up to run out.
A Child's Delight, the Charles Dickens classic, Scrooge. Did you know that it's at Drury Lane Oakbrook Children's Theater now? It's a Harry Lee Rogers production. It's a lot of fun for the family, and it'll be here through New Year's. Take your children to see Scrooge at Drury Lane, Oakbrook. If you want to write this phone number down, you can get ticket information at 530-8300. By the way, if you want to get out a pencil and paper, I'll also give you a couple of phone numbers if you want to find out more about TARDIS 21, the Doctor Who convention. It is this weekend at the Hyatt Regency O'Hare, and there are phone numbers for both tickets, and there's a TARDIS 21 hotline, and I'll give you those in just a moment.
If you're planning a vacation to the sun this winter,
one more message here, and then we'll get back to the telephones. John Pertwee is here, one of the doctors from Doctor Who, and he will just be one of the doctors at TARDIS 21 this weekend. Want to talk about the basket, the gift baskets you receive from Kennedy Groves in Vero Beach, Florida. I guess maybe if you have been a lucky recipient, you probably already know what I'm going to talk about. And you know what a marvelous gift these Indian River oranges and Orchid Island grapefruit. Let's get to the telephones. John Pertwee is here, Doctor Who. And you're on the air with us, Dorothy.
Oh, hi, Roy, and hi, John.
Hello.
I'm calling for my son, who is in school right now. He's 12 years old, and he's having a 13th birthday coming up soon, and he would like to have an autographed picture of you.
Oh, my.
He was at a couple of the other conventions, and the lines were so long, he never got through to get anyone's autographs.
As a matter of fact, we talked a little bit about that. That was one of the problems, and as John says, they're going to do something. You know what I was just thinking? I can only do this for one person, because this is the only one I have, and how could I turn down a 12-year-old fan?
Oh, with a 13th birthday coming up on December 13th.
Right. In the little press kit that they sent to me, there is a little poster. You know, it's a TARDIS 21 poster.
Oh, great.
And why don't I, and again, this is the only poster I have, and I'm happy to do it for Dorothy. What is your son's name?
Daniel.
Okay, so why don't I, while John is here, why don't I have him autograph this little poster
to
Danny, and then you hang on, give Bill your address, and we can send it to you in the mail.
Good, and I have some questions that he wrote me a whole list.
Okay.
But I'll break it down to one. He wanted you to sing the lullaby to the monster. I'm taping this for you.
Well, wait a minute. Come on, Dorothy. I mean, you know what I mean? That means that we'll have to get out the expense check here. We'll have to call
in. What's the other question?
Okay. Who decided on your Edwardian costume?
I decided it myself. This was done in the nature of a jest. My producer, Barry Letts, asked me to get dressed up for a photo call. I didn't know what to wear for the photo call, and so I took my grandfather's Inverness cape, and I took an old smoking jacket and a frilly shirt, which I was rather in vogue at the time. And I put those on and had a lovely scarlet lining, so I grabbed a hold of the corners of this and waved my arms in the air. And this has now become it's a rather regular pose of mine as Doctor Who. And Barry, the producer, said, I think that's marvelous. I love that. I said, well, how on earth are we going to explain it away? He said, oh, we'll find a way. And so in the first script that I did, they wrote in a little scene where I stole various articles of clothing when I escaped from a hospital.
Uh-huh.
And that's how it all happened.
Interesting. Thank you so much.
Right. You're very welcome.
All right. You're not going to hum the lullaby? Or...
no, I don't remember the words.
Dorothy, hang on while we get your address. And I can't turn down a 12-year-old fan. I wish
Harun, Harun, Harun. Imborni gaidi bujingat. Harun, Harun, Harun.
Well, you did
something
remember.
Something like that. Yeah. No, I made the words up.
Bruce, you're on the air with us.
Yes. Last year, I believe my brother asked you at the convention about the cars you raced.
Oh, yeah.
What class was it?
All different kinds of classes. I raced sports cars, which were like Invictas, Invicta 3.5 liters. Well, I don't know whether you know about those.
Well, not particularly.
Also Jaguar 100s.
Oh, yes.
By the way, John just said something, and I was telling John while the commercials were on. We were in London just about a month ago, and I was watching television, and a commercial came on for a Jaguar, and I suddenly turned around and said, yeah, I wonder what a Jag... See, we say Jaguar.
Yeah.
And I had never heard it pronounced Jaguar. So, you know what I'm dying for is to get a commercial, and I'm going to pronounce it that way. And
Jaguar.
Yeah,
then get it absolutely
all
right.
All right. Say it again.
Jaguar.
Jaguar.
That's right.
All right.
A Jaguar.
Now I know what a Jaguar is.
I happen to have a John Player Norton motorcycle.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, you're a biker, too. So
yes.
Am I, yeah. I'm afraid I've given up riding English bikes now. I ride Japanese.
Yeah, because I have a Honda and a Kawasaki as well.
Yeah?
But I have a love-hate relationship with the Norton.
Why did you change, John?
Well, you work on it 6 days a week, so you can ride it on Sunday.
Yeah, well, a Norton is a bit of a sod to start, frankly.
Bruce, thanks for calling.
One more thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what happened to the painting of you in The House That Dripped Blood, where you played the vampire?
Yes, you know, I had it for a long, long time, and then the gentleman who comes around to collect my dust said one day, he said, I like that picture of you, Guff. He said, that's a real nice picture, that is.
Mm.
And I said, well, it's not supposed to be very nice.
Well, my brother still invited you for Thanksgiving dinner and everyone else you want to bring.
Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you very much.
Doctor Who. John Pertwee and Gary, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
First of all, a good friend of mine went to the convention last year. I was unable to, and she gave very high remarks for your cabaret show.
Oh, good.
And I would like to know if you're going to be doing that again. If so, how many?
Yes, I'm performing in cabaret 3 times, but one on each evening of the occasion. Last year, I think we only did it on one occasion, or at most two.
You know, it's nice, Gary, too. They can use the, you know, because they're in the Hyatt Regency, they can use that Blue Max nightclub, which is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So there will be cabaret both Friday, Saturday, and Sunday evenings.
Right. And how many does Jack Cabaret seat?
300, I believe, for each.
Okay.
So,
well, on Sunday is my birthday, and now I know what I'm going to ask my wife for my birthday.
Yeah, good. Well, I hope you enjoy it.
Yes, and there are still tickets available.
I think so.
Are there tickets available for the cabaret, gentlemen, still?
There's still a few.
Yes, a few.
A few, so get in.
Can they call
this
number, the 559-1212 number? Okay, 559-1212, and you can charge tickets right on the telephone, Gary.
Right, and that's on Ticketmaster.
Right. Okay?
Okay, sounds good.
You
Thanks a lot.
And anybody else, there is a TARDIS hotline, and you just dial 283-D-WHO. 283-D-W-H-O. And we'll be right back.
Wouldn't you come in down the road, yeah? Wouldn't you feel in score at home, yeah?
In the audience, I just have a couple of things. When you first became involved, or were about to become involved with Doctor Who, did you know what you were getting into?
No, I had no idea at all. No, I was very surprised to be asked to play it. It became a great shock to me, really, because a friend of mine suggested that I would put myself up for it, and I thought it was a stupid idea. My agent thought it was an idiotic idea. and there was a terrible pause on the telephone when I rang him to suggest it. I thought the telephone had broken down. He said, no, I don't think it's a very good idea, but I'll try. And he rang up the producers, and there was an equally long pause at the other end of the telephone. He said, no, I had the same reaction. And they said, no, we're staggered because your client's name you just mentioned is second on our list.
No kidding.
And had been for 18 months, and
wow.
I had no idea at all. So it that came as a bit of a shock, having suggested it, for them to say, yes, we'd like you to play
now,
it.
When you became Doctor Who, the show took a slightly different twist.
Yes, very much so, yes, because I had my own ideas about how I wanted to play it.
And it seemed to work very well, because, I mean, that was when the show really took off.
Yes, it did. Well, I was the first in color, of course,
right.
And that was tremendous help. We had been in black and white before that.
Does it even amaze you today, well, like the people who are calling today, and this young fellow who, this Charles Curtis from Indiana. By the way, I've made a copy of it, Charles, and John will take it with him. I mean, somebody is as interested as this. There's a following, a dedicated following.
This is not unusual. It's the same all over the English-speaking world.
That's marvelous.
It's the same in Canada and Australia, New Zealand, everywhere.
Must make you feel good about it.
It sure does.
Sherry, did you have a question for John?
Yes. First of all, I'd like to say that you are my absolutely favorite doctor.
Oh, I'm so glad. How very perspicacious of you.
Well, you were the one who was more physically showing of emotion than the other ones seemed to be. And all the other ones since you have been very kind of cool.
Yes, I know what you mean. Well, we all have to be different.
Yes.
I'm that sort of person, I suppose. I my heart is shown on my sleeve.
Well, my question was, I know that Time Lords regenerate, but how do Time Lords reproduce?
I don't think we can talk about that on the radio, Sherry.
Well, also, I know that there are male and female Time Lords.
But there are, I think we can put it down to magic.
How's that, Sherry? Okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
Oh, John has a sense of humor, too. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Roy.
Your question, please.
Well, first of all, I want to say hello to John.
Hello.
I'm one of his biggest nut fans.
Good.
I watch that thing every time. I just wish it was a little earlier in the evening.
Yes, so do we.
It's very late.
Yes, well, this is a great shame. I think people were under the impression to begin with when it was shown that it was a children's program. And it's therefore only good for children, and therefore it would be put on at late times when only adults could see it, which, of course, is quite wrong. It should be at a time when children and of all ages, from 2 to 72, should be allowed to see it.
Right.
Yeah.
Your question, Tom.
Well, are you still married to Jean Marsh, or were
no.
you once?
No, sadly, Jean and I are great friends, but our marriage didn't last very long because Jean had a burning ambition. And I was sort of neck-deep in the theater myself. And those marriages never really work, I'm afraid to say.
Was she one of your companions?
No, she wasn't. She was a companion quite some time before I took over the role.
Oh.
All right, Tom?
Oh, thank you very much.
All right.
You're welcome.
Glad you could call. And your question, Mark?
Hello, John. Hello, Roy.
Yeah.
First of all, I'd like to say John is my favorite doctor, and I really enjoy watching him every Sunday.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Well, you're going to get a lot more of me now. They found all my lost stories.
Oh, good.
Really?
Yes,
that's
good.
Great. I have a question. Is Doctor Who still an active part of your life today as it used to be?
Well, it's an extraordinary thing, is that it's becoming more and more active. I mean, I left it 10 years ago or more. But now, because it's become so popular in your country...
I spend a great deal of each year in the United States attending conferences such as this one. And I'm going to Australia, I believe, next year for the same sort of thing. So it's very much a part of my life.
And one more. With the limited time during the convention, what would you advise me on seeing?
Oh, my.
Oh, well, no, I think I can't question it. We're not having autograph sessions this year, which did waste a tremendous amount of time, no. I think sort of very boring autographs. I'd much rather talk to people. I'd much rather shake their hand and just look at them and say, how do you do, than having your head bunched down over a piece of paper and getting cramp. You don't get anywhere from a squiggle, from a piece of paper, but you get something from a conversation. I would think the best thing for you to do is make, which everybody, I believe, this year is going to be organized, to get in on a panel. When there are four or five of us up on that stage just talking for an hour and a half, answering questions, that's the best thing to do. That's where you get to know people.
When will I be able to see you?
Me?
Yeah.
Hang on. I must ask a gentleman here.
We'll find out from some of the folks who accompany John here. Various times.
Various times during the weekend. It's been very hard for me to tell you. I mean, I think if you go to the conference, without question, you'd meet me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be there.
Yeah, I mean, he'll be at the Hyatt Regency O'Hare.
I'm there all the time.
As with all the other
off
doctors.
And on. And if you get yourself if you're there, you get yourself a program, and it'll tell you exactly when I'm on.
All right.
What panels I'm attending.
Okay, Mark?
Okay, thank you very much.
All right. And listen, I'm sorry we didn't have a chance to talk to all of the other people who call, but if you want to know more about the Doctor Who, the TARDIS 21 convention this weekend, the hotline is 283-DWHO. You just dial those numbers and letters, or the tickets are available at 559-1212. I'm so glad you could come over, even if it was just for a few minutes, John. Glad we had a chance to meet. And will we be seeing you? You make feature films. You also appear in theater, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Is there anything that you've made that has yet to come out that we might see?
No, you've just shown a picture of mine of us in Chicago last week called The House That Dripped Blood.
Oh, were you in that one? Oh,
sure was.
Gee, I missed that one, John. I'm sorry. But I always like to meet actors who work.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I'm giving the wolf from the door, just about.
Thanks, and thanks for coming by.
Thank you very much indeed.
TARDIS 21 due this weekend in the Chicagoland area, and you'll meet quite a few of the doctors. And, of course, you'll be meeting a lot of the people who accompany them, too, and their companions, and you can find out all of that if you call the hotline number. Ah, it's almost 2 o'clock now on WGN in Chicago. Uncle Bobby's coming along, and by the way, tomorrow's Turkey Day.